الحمد لله نحمده واستعينه واستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام، ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فان اصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الامور محدثاتها، فان كل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. Inshallah, with continuation of our regular classes, from the book Bulugh al-Maram, The Attainment of the Objective. Today is Tuesday, which is July 14 for the year 1998, which planned to the 20th of Rabi al-Awwal for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this class constitutes the 20th class for this book. Alhamdulillah, we have covered 19 classes, and today this is will constitute the class the class number 20. And today we're dealing with a new chapter concerning the book of Salah, the book of the prayer. And this will be chapter number 7, which is dealing with the Abu Sifat al-Salah. باب صفة الصلاة. The chapter concerning the description of the Salah. This is page number 94 from book called بلوغ المرام من أدلة الأحكام. The attainment of the objective. And inshallah, today we're dealing with the subject which we dealt with some things related issue to the same subject. We had dealt before in previous classes to things which relate to the Salah. As example, the khushu'ah, humiliation in the prayer. And all these things that we study concerning the Salah, the time for the Salah, the condition for the Salah, the adab and the discipline and the humiliation in the prayer, is to show us the importance of this obligation. This obligation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it incumbent upon all the Muslims, male and female. The Salah is one of the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us to establish, regardless whatever season, regardless whatever you're sick, regardless you are home or in town or is that you're traveling, regardless if you are in peace or in war, regardless if you're sick or healthy, the salah is no excuse for the salah. So all these things to show to us the importance of the salah in Islam. And this issue that we studied before to prepare us for the salah. And today we're dealing with another aspect of the prayer, which is the description of the prayer. And learning about the description of the prayer is very important, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made it clear to us by saying, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Pray the same way you saw me praying. So no Muslim has a choice after this hadith to pray anyway. We have to pray like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to bow down like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to prostrate like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for our prayer to be acceptable, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for it. We have to pray the same way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. And there's no way except, no way for us to pray like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam excepting by learning. We have to learn, we have to study, and we have to practice. And this chapter, chapter number 7, is the longest chapter that we study, or that we're going to study since we started the book. We've been dealing with this book for the last at least 4 months, and I don't think we got close through any chapter before that longer than this. We have at least 45 to 50 hadith. Alaykum salam. About 45 to 50 hadith in this chapter. And maybe we are not going to be able to cover chapter 7 in one class. So inshallah we'll try at least to take half of this chapter for today. And also I'm not going to go into too much details in this, because basically we had a study, a similar course. Okay, a similar subject about the Salah before. We had covered Sifat Salat al-Nabi al-Shaykh al-Albani hafizahullah, the book of the description of the prayer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also we made 7 tapes covering the book, explanation, authenticated hadith and other things. And after this we went on 3 audio tapes concerning some questions and answers by Sheikh Ibn Baz hafizahullah. So basically we have a full course concerning the Salah that we did before. We took about 2 to 3 months to study this course. So I don't want to make the people being restless in the class by repeating the same information. I may hint to it sometimes. But anybody want more details, he need to go back to the book Sifat Salat al-Nabi by Sheikh al-Albani, or you may refer to the audio tapes by Muhammad Said Adli. You have 10 tapes concerning this. The first hadith that we have for today in our class, inshallah, is hadith which is number 210. Hadith number 210, which is reported by Abu Huraira. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فأسبغ الوضوء ثم استقبل القبلة فكبر ثم اقرأ ما تيسر معك من القرآن ثم اركع حتى تطمئن راكعا ثم ارفع حتى تعتدل قائما ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن جالسا ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا، ثم افعل ذلك في صلاتك كلها. اخرجه السبعة واللفظ للبخاري. This hadith, which hadith number 210, and is the first hadith in chapter 7, page number 94, concerning the description of the prayer. This hadith is authentic, which reported by Abu Dawood, that means in the book of Sunan Abu Dawood, and also in the book of Ibn Hibban, بسند جيد، and Sheikh Al-Albani, excuse me, I'm sorry. This hadith in the collection of Imam Al-Bukhari and in the collection of Imam Muslim and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi. Again, this hadith, hadith number 210, is in the collection of Imam Al-Bukhari and in the collection of Sahih Muslim and in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. This hadith, when it say إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, that narrated Abu Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you get up to prayer, perform ablution perfectly, then says the Qibla and say Allahu Akbar, then recite a convenient portion of the Quran, then bow and remain in that position for a moment, then rise up and stand erect, then prostrate and remain in that position for a moment, then rise up and sit perfectly, then prostrate and remain in that position for a moment, then do that through your prayer. Okay? And it says that this narrated by the Sab'a, the Seven, which we just mentioned, and Al-Bukhari. Okay? And this version is the version of Al-Bukhari, which is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah. This is the seven collections, okay? But this narration that we have is the narration that came in Sahih Al-Bukhari. This is not the narration that is the book of Abu Dawood or the Sunan Al-Tirmidhi. But you will find the same hadith in all these books with a slight different narration. Like as example, under it right away say وَلِإِبْنِ مَعَجَ بِإِثْنَادِ مُسْلِمْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ قَائِمًا. Okay, giving you a different version. And after this he said وَلِلْنِسَاءِ وَأَبِي دَوُودِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ رُفَاعَ إِبْنِ رَافِعَ رِفَاعَ إِبْنِ رَافِعَ أَنَّهَا لَنْ تَتِمَّ الصَّلَاةَ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُسْبِغُ الْوُضُوءِ. He giving you another version after this. Okay? But basically all of them gives you the same meaning which we use in hadith number 210, which came in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari. When he say, when you get up to prayer, does not mean when you standing up for the prayer, okay? That means when you intend to make the prayer, okay? When you have the intention and you intend to make salah, so what is necessary for you that you need to have wudu, that you mean to make wudu. And there is something here which is very important that been mentioned in the hadith, which is what? Perform ablution perfectly. Okay? We talked about the chapter of wudu before. And this is a condition for the acceptance of the salah. Not in making a wudu, but it has to be a perfect wudu. And when we're talking about perfect wudu, that makes sure that all the limbs that which is supposed to be covered in wudu have been covered. And basically we mention about two important things that you keep eye on it while you make wudu, and this one, your elbow okay, and the heels, okay. And we mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَيْلُ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ, woe to the heels from hellfire. Okay, why? Because basically the water will be running, and after this, behind your ankles in the heels will be dry, will be like a spot, like the quarter, almost the size of the quarter, and this will spoil your wudu. And if your wudu is spoiled, that means your salah is not acceptable. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used this word, asbir, asbir. Al-isbir means to cover completely, okay? To cover completely. So the wudu is like a garment that you're going to break. All the limbs, all the parts of the wudu that you have to cover it. Don't leave any part exposed. The second condition was what? That you face the Qibla. And as we mentioned before, that facing the Qibla is a must. And if you are in a place that you don't know which way is the Qibla, that you try your best by looking to the stars, by looking to the moon, by looking to the sun rising, or asking the people, okay, to the best of your ability. And we said that the facing the Qibla in the optional prayer is not a must. Okay? If you are on your camel, or if you are in your car, you don't have to face the Qibla. But if you are in ground, okay, you are not traveling, you are not riding, you also face what? You face the Qibla. So this is the second condition. And after this, they say that read whatever easy in you, whatever convenient for you. And when we talk about what convenient, okay, because it is the Fatiha, as it came in other ahadith. Because the one who doesn't recite the Fatiha, there is no salah for him. That any salah without reciting the Fatiha is not acceptable. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite what is convenient to you, because the Fatiha is supposed to be convenient for everybody, and everybody is supposed to be basically learning the Fatiha. Okay? So not for somebody to understand, although that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he will see from this hadith that you can recite anything. That as example, you say Allahu Akbar, he enters the Salah, and you can say Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, you don't have to be reading the Fatiha. But the Jumhur and the majority of the scholars, that you have to recite Al-Fatiha. Okay? And this what is here say, فَقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرْ اِقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرْ, what is easy in you, من القرآن. ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ, after this bow down. If the second position comes after Qiyam, is what? Is the ruku'. And notice now, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said bow down, and what? حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا. And this is the word that each one of us has to learn and remember. الْإِطْمِئْنَان. Al-Itmi'nan. Okay? Tatma'in means take your time. Take your time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say it here for blame game, and he did not repeat it 5, 6, 7 times for nothing. So after every position and during every position, you have to take your time. You have to wait for a moment. You have to wait for each bone to settle, okay? All the joints to go back in the original place, okay? Like if the person bowed down, and after this he said, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, and he stood up. Now you have to wait for each joint to go back in its place originally, okay? You could not go up and go down immediately, and while the joints is still what? Moving, try to take it to place. This kind of salah is not acceptable. Okay? And we could not be wasting our time in acting or assuming that we're making salah, and the salah is not going to be accepted by Allah, because it is not according the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then bow and remain in that position for a moment. Okay? It's not a matter of touching the ground and jumping up again. Okay? No, you have to wait. This is very important. So this is the word that he used here, for a moment. Then rise up, stand erect, then prostrate and remain in that position for a moment. Again, he repeats the same again, for a moment. Then rise up and sit perfectly, okay? You have to, and perfectly, that means that you make sure that you are in a sitting position, not still in a moving position, okay? You have to be sitting, and now you call sitting. Getting from the floor and sitting and moving, and you go back to the second sujood is not called sitting, because you're still in translation, you're still in movement, okay? After each position, you have to wait. You have to wait. This is part of the salah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, he said, success are for the believers. What was the first quality of the believers? Allah didn't say just to perform a prayer. But he said what? Those who are mindful. Those who are humble in their prayer. You see? So, hurrying up and doing fast, quick salah, this is not khushu', this is not emulation. This is not the proper respect for Allah during the prayer. Okay? And he said, حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ سَاجِدًا ثُمَّ فَعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا. Then do throughout your prayer. He said, do this throughout your prayer. Does not mean repeat everything. Okay? Doesn't mean to pray. Because in the beginning of the hadith, he said what? Make wudu. And the second thing you understand, he said, face the qibla. And it comes the takbir, the kabda. All these three things is not going to be repeated. But reciting the Quran will be repeated. The ruku' will be repeated. The standing after ruku' will be repeated. Going for sujood will be repeated. Okay? Sitting after sujood, going to the second sajda, this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, then do this in all your prayer. That means do all these things except what? Except making wudu again, and except what? Making the takbir. Because the takbir is to enter the salah. Okay? So after you make takbir at the ihram, turn the microphone on, please. It's okay, you can put it here behind Abu Bakr. In the corner. Okay. Thank you. Good. JazakAllah. And he said that we need this. Then prostrate and remain in that position for a moment, then do through your prayer. That means do this again for the second rak'ah, for the third rak'ah, for the fourth rak'ah. That means repeat everything and every action with the exception of what? Repeating the wudu or repeating takbirat al-ihram to enter the salah. If you look in the narration which came by Ibn Majah, he said, فَأَقِمْ فُلْ بَكَى. And stand erect properly. Again, okay? So it's a different wording. But basically, you have, after you make ruku' when you get up, don't go to sujood until you wait and make sure that all your bones went back again as when you were standing before you go to ruku'ah. Okay? And this is a very, very serious problem with a lot of Muslims. They make prayers like this. They never wait until all the bones. And I heard like a story that one of the Salaf Saleh, he saw a person making prayer. And after this he said to him, how long you been making prayer like this? He said, I've been making prayer like this for 40 years. He said to him, you didn't pray for 40 years. Okay? That means he's been all his life going in his salah like Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, رِجْلَيْهِ الْقِبْلَى وَإِذَا جَلَسَ فِي الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ جَلَسَ عَلَى رِجْلِهِ الْيُسْرَى وَنَصَبَ الْيُمْنَى وَإِذَا جَلَسَ فِي الرَّكْعَةِ الْأَخِيرَةِ قَدَّمَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُسْرَى وَنَصَبَ الْأُخْرَى وَقَعَدَ عَلَى مَقْعَدَتِهِ أخرجه البخاري. This hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi. Hadith reported by Abu Hamid al-Sa'idi, may Allah be pleased with him. I saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he uttered the takbir, he placed his hand parallel to his shoulders, and when he bowed down, he rested his hands on his knees, then bent his back. When he raised his head up, he stood erect until the bones of his spine become straight. When he prostrated, he placed his arms such that they were neither spread out nor drawn in. And he points of his toes were facing the Qibla. When he sat up at the end of the two rak'ah, he sat on his left foot and put erect the right one. And when he sat up after the last rak'ah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put forward the left foot but erect the other one and sat on his buttock. This hadith, as we said, this is the narration of Imam al-Bukhari. Abu Hamid al-Sa'idi, may Allah be pleased with him, describing the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he saw him. And he say, I saw the Prophet of Allah. Okay? I saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he made takbir. That he made his hand huzwa, that means even to his shoulders, okay? When he enters the salah, the first takbira, that the hand is facing the qibla, and that the fingers are even to the shoulder level. And as I said, there is other narration which shows a different way to place the hands, okay? But as I said, I'm trying not to go into too much details because we covered this in the course before concerning the salah. But concerning this hadith, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his fingers even to his shoulder. وَإِذَا رَكَعَ, when he got to the position of ruku', أَمْكَنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنْ رُكْبَتَيْهِ, that he will put his hands on his knees. Okay? He will hold the knees with the hand. Okay? And this is tamkeen. That means resting well, and he will hold He will separate the fingers, and the fingers will be round the knee, holding the knee. So this is the position in ruku', in the bound down. He rested his hands on his knees, then bent his back, and after this, his back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be even. That means his back and his head will be even. He didn't raise his head up, neither he tilted the head down to the floor. So your head in ruku' position, and your back is like my hand now. If this is your back, and now you go in ruku', now the back and the head also will be even, okay? The head will be even. So if we say that this is your back, you go down Allahu Akbar in ruku', now your head is not going to be like this, neither your head will be erected up, okay? But your head and your back, everything will be straight, okay? And when he raised his head up from the ruku', istawa, he will erect himself until each bone, each joint will go back in its place. And again, we repeat, it is very important. When you raise up from ruku', you wait until your joints go back to the original place. Don't keep moving, okay, during the salah. But you have to wait until you settle and you let your bones, your joints, everything goes back as it used to be before. He stood erect until bones of his spine became straight. I keep emphasizing this again. Because the problem that we see nowadays with a lot of Muslims, this is very, very important. فَإِذَا سَجَدَ وَضَعَ يَدَيْهِ غَيْرَ مُفْتَرِشٍ وَلَا قَابِضُهُمَا. Okay? That when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to go in sujood, he doesn't put his hand in iftirash. Iftirash, okay, like that means your hand and your arm and your elbow will be touching in sujood. This is wrong. And this imitation of the dog. We are not supposed to imitate animals. We are not supposed to imitate the Jews and the Christian. We are not supposed to imitate the shaitan. Okay, imitating the shaitan like when somebody eats with his left hand. Rasulullah said the shaitan eats with the left hand. Okay? So you are not imitating the dog, because the dog, when he sits, he puts his hand like this. Hand and arm, elbow, everything on the ground. But when you go in sujood, you have to lift your arm, your hand on the ground, only your hand. But your arm is up, erected up. وَاسْتَقْبَلَ بِأَطْرَافِ أَصَابِعِ رِجْلَيْهِ الْقِبْلَةِ. And your toes, okay, will be facing the Qibla. And we see some Muslims, when they pray, their toes straight head to the ground like this. And this is wrong. If this is the ground, if this is your feet, this is your toes, they will be sitting their feet like this. You see? The Prophet ﷺ didn't go through all this explanation so everybody can pray whatever way he wants. And the Prophet ﷺ meant for everything to be in a special position. We have to understand the importance of the Salah, and we have to be so concerned about our Salah, because this is the main pillar of the Islam. And the toes will be like this, will be facing the Qibla. Okay? Your foot goes down like this, but the toes will be bended to be facing the Qibla. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? I have all these wires around me. I don't have the position to get up. But maybe, inshallah, if anybody doesn't understand, I'll demonstrate this after the class. وإذا جلس بالركعتين جلس على رجله اليسرى.
When he sit for the first tashahhud, he will sit on the bottom of the left foot. Okay? So the left foot will be under him, the bottom of it. Okay? And he will erect the right one. So this is the left foot, and this is the right foot. You see how you be beside each other? So this foot will be bended like this under you, and this foot will be straight like this. They will be sitting beside each other, and you'll be sitting on the left one. وَنَصَبَ الْيُمْنَ وَإِذَا جَلَسَ فِي الرَّكْعَةِ الْأَخِيرَةِ. And when he sits in the last rak'ah, like the third rak'ah in Maghrib, or the fourth rak'ah in Zuhr and Asr and Isha, what he will do? قَدَّمَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُسْرَى. That the left foot will be front, that means will go under the right leg. You understand what I'm saying? Please, if anybody doesn't understand, ask me. No, I don't think so well. You give me one word that I'm saying, please. Thank you. You see what is the yusra? The left foot going under the left one. So the bottom of the left foot, this area, coming close with the right leg. The right leg like what you call the, like hooking together, like.
Intersect
together, unlock, yes. Interlock together, okay? Did you see how he's sitting? This is what we're talking about. قَدَّمَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُسْرَى وَنَصَبَ الْأُخْرَى. And the right foot will be what? Will be standing. وَقَعَدَ عَلَى مَقْعَدَتِهِ. And where he's going to be sitting? In his buttock. You're going to be sitting. You are not sitting in your leg, you'll be sitting your buttock down on the ground. This is the description that Abu Hamid al-Sa'idi described. He said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to learn and see how the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they were so concerned to relate to us everything about the life style of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even about the toe, the foot, the leg, everything. You see, they did not neglect anything. Hadith number 212, وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان إذا قام إلى الصلاة قال وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض إلى قوله من المسلمين اللهم أنت الملك لا إله إلا أنت أنت ربي وأنا عبدك إلى آخره رواه مسلم. This hadith is in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. And he gives the hadith here short. وعن عليٍ son of Abu Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, from the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood for salah, prayer, he used to say, I have turned my face as a monotheist towards him who created the heaven and the earth.
and I am not from the polytheist. My prayer and my devotion, my life and my death belong to Allah, the Lord of the universe, who has no partner. That is what I have been commanded, and I am a Muslim. O Allah, you are the King. There is no God but you. You are my Rabb. You are my Lord. And I am your slave. I have wronged myself, but I acknowledge my sins. So forgive me all my sins. You alone can forgive sins. And guide me to the best qualities. You alone can guide to the best of them. And turn me from evil ones. You alone can turn from evil qualities. I come to serve and please you. All good is in your hands, and evil does not pertain to you. I seek refuge in you and turn to you. You are the blessed and the exalted. I ask your forgiveness and turn to you in repentance. Reported by Muslims. Okay? And my comment about it, this not what you say. This is the meaning what is supposed to be saying. And we had mentioned before concerning the opening dua that there is many, many different versions concerning the opening of the salah, and that you should at least learn one of them so you can be practicing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you have the ability to learn more than one of the opening dua, you should do so, so you can use them in different occasions, different times. You can one time say, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, and one time you say, Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ard, and one time you say, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khataayaya. So there's many, many versions. So if you don't hear one, say, oh, this is different from what I know. Okay? So there is many of them, and all the things to show us how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so concerned about praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to praise him in different occasions, different times, and this is one of the ways that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to praise Allah. And the hadith goes by this, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَا. Maybe I should say it a little bit slowly in case somebody will review the tape and they try to learn it. And I'm not trying to make commercial to Subway, okay? I'm serious. وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَا لِلَّذِي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين إلا أنت واهدني لأحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عني سيئها لا يصرف عني سيئها إلا أنت لبيك وسعديك والخير كله في يديك والشر ليس إليك، أنا بك وإليك تباركت وتعاليت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Can you imagine this only the opening dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened his salah, his prayer with? Do you know how many Muslims by this time they'll be finished almost half of their salah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only saying the opening dua, he didn't start Fatiha yet. He didn't recite Quran yet. You see? Because in the salah, in the prayer, there is satisfaction. Great enjoyment. Okay? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? وَجُعِلَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. That the coolness of my eye been made in the prayer. So when he enters the prayer, he will love to take as long as he can in it, because he feel content, he feel happy, he feels the satisfaction. So he doesn't want to jump and get out. You can imagine yourself, you understand, have a nice meal or watching a movie or any other things that you enjoy, whatever it is, okay? And that you want it to last as much as you want. Huh? Abida? Huh? Oh, Abada. Forever. Yeah, he wants to stay for it forever, okay? So here the Prophet ﷺ says this only the approach is the prayer before he reads the Fatiha. So can you imagine how long he will be taken in his salah? And to tell you one thing about the salah of Rasulullah ﷺ, the Sahabi telling us that the Prophet ﷺ used to start his salah by saying Allahu Akbar, and he will enter the salah. Listen to this. One of them, he will go to the Baqiyah, use the hammam. You like this one? Use the hammam, the bathroom. He come back, take a shower, or take a wudu, and walk to the masjid, and will catch the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first rak'at. Let's say that the Baqiyah used to be exactly almost like maybe 5 points from here. Okay? 5 points from the masjid. Can you imagine by the time you go to 5 points and come back, which rak'at will catch me? Nothing. The salah will be finished and fans is off, light is off, it's time for everybody to leave. Huh? No, they used to go. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar, to start the prayer. And one of them will go to the Baqiyah, use the bathroom, and imagine average time for a person in the bathroom, and walk back, and get himself ready for the prayer of ablution or ghusl or whatever, and walk to the masjid, and catch the Prophet in the first rak'at. You see? You see what the salah used to be in their life? It's not like you understand, hey, knock it down and leave. 4 rak'at. 5 minutes, it's over. What time are you praying? Oh, your brother will finish. Yeah. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say this when he opening his prayer. Hadith 213, page 97. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال. How many of you have بلوغ المرام? How many of you would like to have بلوغ المرام? Not for free now, yeah, we won't have to buy it. Yeah. Because we did not even finish the first 100 in the book. And this book you're talking about 540 pages. So actually we made one-fifth of the book. Anyway, we'll talk later about it. Yeah, some people think about this. $10, $15, $20, $25. When it comes about cable for the TV, it's not a big thing because it's enjoyment. All right. وعن أبي هريرة, because I want you to also try to learn the Arabic, try to follow me when I'm reading, practicing. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كبر للصلاة سكت هنيه قبل أن يقرأ فسألته فقال أقول اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم نقني من خطاياي كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم اغسلني من خطاياي بالماء والثلج والبرد. This another hadith, as I said, there is many, many hadith, different version that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to use as for the opening for his prayer. It's not too much common about it. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Muslim. The hadith is recorded by Abu Huraira, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to remain silent for a while, and this made Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, curious. He would try to know why the Prophet ﷺ is not reciting. That means the Prophet ﷺ was saying it by silence. He didn't hear it. Okay? So, he as a follower behind the Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't know what's going on. So, but all what he sees the Prophet after he say Allahu Akbar and enter the prayer, he's quiet for a while. So he questioned him, what is going on? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed him that he be reciting this dua. And again, this dua to be said in Arabic. You don't say nothing. You don't say anything in Salah in English or in Spanish or in Chinese. Nothing. Say it in Arabic. Okay? Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to keep silence between the takbir, that means takbirat al-ihram, the first takbirah to enter the salah, used to keep silence between the takbir of prayer and recitation of the Quran for a short while. Then I asked him about that. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I say, O Allah, keep me apart from my sin, fault, as you have kept apart the east and the west. O Allah, clean me from my sin, as a white garment is cleaned from dirt. O Allah, wash me of my sins with water, snow, and hail. See? This is something so beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so concerned about the deen, physically, mentally, spiritually, in his heart. He wants all this sin to be removed away. He wants to take a distance from sin as far, 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 far away. And he described it by like the east so far from the west. Because when this problem comes, now it disturbs your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more that you far from sin, the more that you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is beautiful meaning. We need to realize it. We need to implement it in our life. And we need to learn this dua, inshaAllah. Now you see in Hadith 214,
Days 97 and 98. وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه انه كان يقول سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا اله غيرك. The hadith is in the collection of Imam Muslim. And this is short one. For those people who could not memorize the first one or the second one, this is the shorter one. It can be utilized. After you say Allahu Akbar and enter your salah, you will utter this hadith. Which is the meaning is, O Allah, glory and, O Allah, glory and gratitude is due to you, is to you. Blessed is your name and exalted is your majesty. And there is no God beside you. ونحوه عن أبي سعيد الخدري مرفوعا عند الخمسة وفيه وكان يقول بعد التكبير أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همسه ونفخه ونفثه. Again, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفسه. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say after the takbir, I seek refuge. As it also to be said in Arabic or in Arabic. Okay? I seek refuge in Allah, the all-hearing and the all-knowing, from a cursed devil, from his madness or evil suggestions, and from his buffing up, and from his witchcraft. Three things, okay, that you seek refuge in Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one can give you refuge. And you seek refuge against the shaitan and whatever comes from the shaitan. Seeking refuge in Allah from the shaitan, al-rajim, the cursed one, okay? And you seek refuge in Allah from whatever the shaitan brought forward or brought forth to beguile in the mankind, regardless of persistence or magic or making you proud of yourself, whatever it is that he try to beguile you and take you away from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith, which has this narration, which reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the ones that say, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. This could be recited after the dua al-istiftah, the opening prayer, and before reciting the Fatiha. And also you're supposed to recite any time before you recite Quran, you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. This hadith is the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Al-Bayhaqi wa Tirmizi wa Ibn Majah. The next hadith, hadith number 215. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
يستفتح الصلاة بالتكبير والقراءة بالحمد لله رب العالمين. وكان إذا ركع لم يشخص رأسه ولم يصوبه، ولكن بين ذلك وكان إذا رفع رأسه من الركوع لم يسجد حتى يستوي قائما، وإذا رفع رأسه من السجود لم يسجد حتى يستوي جالسا، وكان يقول في كل ركعتين التحية، وكان يفرش رجله اليسرى وينصب اليمنى، وكان ينهى عن عقبة الشيطان، وينهى أن يفترش الرجل ذراعيه افتراش السبت، وكان يختم الصلاة بالتسليم. أخرجه مسلم وله علة. This hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim, which is reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to begin the salah with the takbir. Okay, this is the first thing. What is it supposed to mean to us? That there is nothing to be started before the salah. You open your salah with what? Allahu Akbar. There is nothing before this. You notice some people, they raise their hands, whatever they utter in before this, I have no, no clue about it, okay? You find some people say, نَوَيْتُ أُصَلِّ فَرْضَ الظُّهْرَ أَرْبَعَ رَكَعَاتٍ مُقْتَدِيًا بِهَذَا الْإِمَامِ فِي مَسْجِدِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي وِلَايَةِ كولومبيا ساوث كارولينا، نَوَيْتُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَر، which is say, I intend to make 4 rak'at, the obligatory prayer of Fard al-Zuhr, behind the Imam in Masjid al-Muslimin, Columbia, South Carolina, not the state of the Shaitan. Allahu Akbar. Okay, what you ask him, what you don't, you say he's making his niyyah. Okay? There is nothing called making in niyyah. Making in niyyah in your heart. You don't say anything with your tongue. Okay? You don't say nawaitu, nothing. So the hadith say, يَفْتَفْتِحُ الصَّلَاةَ بِالتَكْبِيرِ. You open his salah with what? With the takbir. The first thing in the salah is Allahu Akbar. وَيَسْتَفْتِحُ الصَّلَاةَ بِالتَكْبِيرِ وَالْقِرَاءَةَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. زَوَجَكَ اللَّهُ بِالْأَحْسَنِ. You know what is زواجك الله؟ زواجك الله. Who doesn't know this word? You see, when somebody always rushing, so we say زواجك الله, because when you get married, you will slow down. You will have enough problems, you will have enough fun and all this. So well, you will be settled up. You will settle up like this, okay? Okay. With the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the most great, and recitation of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise is to Allah, the Rabb of the universe. And when he bowed down, he neither kept his head up nor bent it down. Basically, most of this information, we already talked about it in other hadith before. But what is unique, or what is most important here, that is not in the other hadith, that the opening of the prayer with the takbir. The second thing is new in this hadith, that recitation started with what? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, silent to himself. But the ma'mumin behind him, when they hear what? الحمد لله رب العالمين. Okay, but this doesn't mean he didn't say بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. But he used to make them hear when they hear what? Starting from الحمد لله رب العالمين. Okay? And also we said about where is your head when you are making ruku', okay? Will be straight, even with your back, everything even. And also when he raised his head from ruku', from bowing down, he didn't go to sujood until what? Erect, straight, each bone, each joint, go back in its place. And the same thing will do in sujood. He will take his time. And after each two rak'at, this is something new also. He will say what? At-tahiyyah. Which means what? At-tahiyyatu lillah wa salawat wa qaylat at-tashahud. Okay? He will say the tahiyyah after every two rak'at. And again, talks about sitting on the left foot and erect the right foot, the same thing that we talk about it. And he's forbidding you also to put your arms flat like the wild animal. All the things that we had explained in previous ahadith. Yes, yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a verse from the Fatiha. Okay? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to raise his voice starting from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Okay. There is here something also وَكَانَ يَنْهَا عَنْ عُقْبَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And at the end of every two rak'at, he said at-tahiyyah, and he used to sit on his left foot and position the right one vertically and prohibited, this is what I'm looking for, and he prohibited the devil's way of sitting. Again, we've been forbidden to imitate the shaitan in the way how he sits. How he sit? That he will sit on his buttock and will raise his leg or his knees. Okay, I show you now. Please, Brother Talib, sit the way you were sitting and put your hands on the ground, so we can show them what we're talking about. No, I don't need anything. I could not. You see, I have all this wire down. It's not easy for me to move. I have the telephone over my head. I have the speakers on my shoulder. Okay, now put your 2 feet beside each other. Yes. Put your hands down on the ground. Beside you, closer to you. Okay? This will call the sitting of the... Where is it? Prohibited the devil's way of sitting. So your thigh, your leg will be erected, your 2 foot beside each other, and you will sit in your buttock, and your feet, your hands will be on the ground. This we call, you could not sit like this in the salah. Okay? Yes. What is forbidden for you out of the salah to sit? You see how you're sitting? Put now your left hand behind you. Put it behind you so the people can... No, only the left. Exactly. So you see, leaning like this, okay, regardless if you're folding your legs or you keep your legs up with the hand behind you, this you could not sit like this. If you put the 2 hands, this will be different now. Okay? No. If you put the right hand, it's okay. Or you put 2 hands, but you could not put the left. Oh, which one is your left? Oh, you're sitting. Okay, you're sitting this way. Okay. Sorry. Hadith number 216, page number 99.
وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يرفع يديه حذو من كبيه إذا افتتح الصلاة وإذا كبر للركوع وإذا رفع رأسه من الركوع. متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar. May Allah be pleased with him and his father. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he stood up for prayer, used to raise his hands parallel to his shoulders. And when he started the prayer by saying Allahu Akbar, when he utters the takbir to bow, and when he raises his head from the ruku', what is new is this narration to teach us about Salah, the time, different times of raising the hand. You raise the hand even to your shoulders when you enter the Salah. Okay? This is one. And the second position, you raise it again the same way when you go to ruku', when you go to bow down. After you finish Fatiha and recite the Quran, and you go into ruku', you say, Allahu Akbar, and you raise your hand and go down to ruku'. The third position, when you get up from ruku', سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Okay? So what this came in this hadith are three positions. This doesn't negate the other positions. As I said, I'm not going to open a new course again for Salah, because we already cover all these things. Basically, we explaining what's in Bulugh al-Maram today. But there is other positions that you can raise your hands. As example, when you come from tashahud, okay, after you say at-tahiyya, tahiyyatullah, after the second raka'ah, and when you get up for the third raka'ah, you will raise your hand again. Yes. You are not going to do it like this. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Your palm is facing the qibla. You enter the salah, Allahu Akbar. You go to ruku', Allahu Akbar. You raise from ruku', you raise your hand and say Allahu Akbar. And the takbir is different from raising the hand. Because some people say takbir, they think that means waving with the hand. The takbir is the same of Allahu Akbar. Okay? But this called rafa', raising the hand. Rafa'a yaday. And as I said, what comes in this hadith is even to the shoulders. And this doesn't negate that the hands can be also what? Raised to the ears. There is other narration. We described this and we mentioned this before. وَفِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي حَمِيدٍ عند أَبِي دَوُودِ يَرْفَعْ يَدَيْهِ حَتَّى يُحَاذِي بِهَمَا مَنْ كَبَيْهِ ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرْ. Okay? This other narration. And the third narration, لمسلم عن مالك ابن الحويري رضي الله تعالى عنه نحو حديث ابن عمر لكن قال حتى يحاذي بهما فروع أذني. الحمد لله. It came here. Okay? He said in the other narration, he, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, raised his hands even to the end of his ears. Okay? So, you can do it to the shoulders, you can make it to the knee, the ears. Okay? Both of them by. Hadith number, so what was new in this hadith is the raising of the hands in different positions. Hadith 217, page 99, as well as 100, page 100. وعن وائل ابن حجر ابن حجر وعن وائل ابن حجر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فوضع يده اليمنى على يده اليسرى على صدره. أخرجه ابن خزيمة. This hadith in its isnad there is some weakness, but the hadith is sahih al-ghayri, is authentic because it's been supported by other versions. And Sheikh al-Albani also has made comment on the hadith that is sahih. What is new in this hadith, or additional information in this hadith, that the placing of the right hand over the left hand on the chest. This what is additional information in this hadith. But is the right hand over the left hand, and that both of them will be placed where? On the chest. This is the proper way where you're supposed to put your hand. Page 100 and Hadith 218 وعن عبادة ابن الصامت رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بأم الكتاب. This hadith is authentic in Bukhari and Muslim, which reported by Abu Ubadah, reported by Ubadah, son of As-Samit, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that there is no salah for him who doesn't recite Ummul Quran, means Al-Fatiha. Okay? If a person praying and he didn't recite Fatiha, the Salah is not acceptable. And from other narration we understand that this applies to the person who praying by himself, because a hadith Rasulullah s.a.w. telling us that whosoever have an imam, that recitation of the imam is recitation for him, and when the Quran is recited it's for you to listen. Okay? So if the imam is leading you in salah, salat al-maghrib, salat al-isha, the first surah al-aad, salat al-fajr, and you recite loudly, you don't recite fatiha, you listen to the imam. Okay? Salat al-zuhr, you recite for yourself. Salat al-asr, you recite for yourself. The third raqa in the maghrib, you recite for yourself. Third and fourth raka'ah in Isha, you recite for yourself. Okay? And by any way, there is a lot of, this is a debatable issue among the scholars. Okay? But the most authentic way or understanding that I hold to, that recitation of the imam in the out prayer, the loud prayer, is recitation for the follower. But if you praying by yourself, you have to recite Fatiha. So this hadith will apply to who? To the one who is what? Praying by himself. And third and fourth. Zawajakallah. Yes. Is the first raka'ah? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajeem. Dua al-istiftah, the opening dua. All these things will be recited in the first raka'ah. Hadith number, okay, in another narration for Ibn Majah and Darqutni, لا تجد صلاة لا يقرأ فيها بفاتحة الكتاب. That salah or prayer is not complete if one does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And the first narration call it what? Umm al-Kitab, the mother of the book. Does not have to be mother, that means like a mother gives a birth. But you call something when have the essence
May Allah bless you. The essence. Because Fatihat al-Kitab has all the meaning of the whole Quran. Belief of Allah, belief in the unseen, the day of the judgment, praying, asking Allah for the guidance, praising Allah. The whole thing of the whole thing of the Quran comes under the Fatiha. And this is the reason called Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book. There is other narration here which by Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi wa Ibn Hibban, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَقْرَؤُونَ خَلْفَ إِمَانِكُمْ قُلْنَا نَعَمْ قَالَ لَا تَفْعَلُوا إِلَّا بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِهَا. Okay? This narration, which is authentic and came in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, perhaps you recite behind your imam, because what happens that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been disturbed in his prayer. And he questioned him, and he said, perhaps you pray, you say Quran by me. We replied, yes. He's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't do so except when it is Surah Al-Fatiha. For the salah, the prayer of one of you who doesn't recite it is not acceptable. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, or he forbid them to say Quran behind him except what? Fatiha. And he said what? Because the salah of the one who doesn't recite Fatiha is what? Is not acceptable. But back again, we have the verse of the Quran, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا, that when the Quran is recited, listen to it. Okay? So, we recite behind the imam, when is the imam staying silent? Like Salat al-Zuhr, Salat al-Asr, third Raqa of Maghrib, third and fourth Raqa of Isha. Okay? That we recite. But when the imam is reciting, we listen to the imam. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه. How many minutes, Habib?
Five. Could not be, huh? Yeah. We start 7:15, it's a quarter to nine. Okay.
وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبا بكر وعمر كانوا يفتتحون الصلاة بالحمد لله رب العالمين. متفق عليه. زاد مسلم لا يذكرون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في أول القراءة ولا في آخرها. وفي رواية لأحمد والنسائي وابن خزيمة لا يجهرون ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وفي أخرى لابن خزيمة كانوا يسرون. وعلى هذا يحمل النفي في رواية مسلم خلافا لمن أعلها. The summary of the whole thing which we already mentioned, hadith number 219, page 101, that Anas telling us that I made my prayer behind Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar, as well as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to recite or start or begin their recitation with what? With Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All the narration coming, that means they used to say Bismillah secretly, silent. Okay? So the Imam would say Allahu Akbar to enter the Salah.
Which is the dua al-istiftah. And after this, we'll say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan
rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
All this is silent, only to hear for himself. And after this, we'll say what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So in actuality, the ma'mumin, the followers, the first thing they hear from the Imam is what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And by this, inshallah, we'll close for today. Because if the shams up, the moon will be what? Disappear. So, inshallah, I think we cover what? 10 hadith only today? Yeah, 10 hadith. So we have 40 hadith more to go in this chapter, inshallah. And I pray Allah forgiveness for me and you, and for all the Muslims. And inshallah, for those who would like to remain after Maghrib, I will spend with you at least 15 minutes up to a half an hour to discuss community issues if there is anything to be discussed. So we would like, inshallah, as I said before, Mujahid. Class is over. So inshallah, after Salat al-Maghrib, those who can remain, we appreciate this. At least we can spend some time together to discuss about it. And as I said before, that this will be our way, inshallah, every Tuesday, that we have the class before Maghrib. After this, we pray Maghrib together. And after Maghrib, we can sit down for minimum 15 minutes, half an hour, if there is anything that we need to discuss concerning family problems. I mean the big family, not a husband and wife, okay? Because we as one family here, inshallah. All the Muslims in one family, especially those who come and sit in the house of Allah. So if we have anything that we need to discuss about cleaning the masjid, about a conference, about improving our classes, about updating our computer, the system, and all the stuff, you understand? So inshallah we can talk about this after Maghrib. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.